this is the path to success, as far as I'm concerned, coming on here.
Hello and welcome back to this Rose the Show episode. Every other Monday, we invite a business owner, coach, or professional onto the podcast to get a free podcast audit and roast, where we deep dive into their current marketing, highlight areas that are holding them back from faster growth and monetization, provide them and you actionable steps you can start applying today to experience faster podcast growth. So sit back, grab your popcorn, and get ready as we roast this show. Hello and welcome back to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing. My name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And today we have...
Karen O'Connor, and my podcast is called Life After Menopause.
Awesome. Well, look, Karen, before we even dive straight into kind of the Rose the Show and dig deeper in terms of what might be holding you back in terms of faster growth, from your end, I'd love to know a bit of context. How did you get into this space? And I guess, why did you start the podcast in the first place?
There were two reasons for starting the podcast. One was because I saw a lot of women who were my age, middle-aged, who had done a lot in their lives, had the most amazing stories to share, but weren't sharing them because they didn't feel that they were important enough or interesting enough. So I wanted to share that. The other reason is actually because my brother is a radio presenter, and he said instead of writing a blog, you should be on a podcast. So that was why I started it. And I started 4 years ago, and I was growing it quite nicely. But about in the last 12 months, it's really dropped off. And yeah, I want to pick it up and see what I'm doing wrong, where I can improve, whether it's the format, whether it's the content, the quality, whatever, I don't know. So that's why I thought I'd reach out to you, because I've been listening to your podcast and I went, oh yeah, I'll do that. Put my hand up.
No, I love it. And Karen, we've definitely got our ideas in terms of what I might be, which of course I'm going to share with you. Firstly, I think you're in the best vehicle in terms of blog versus podcast and whatnot. But so you said 12 months. So until about a year ago, it was on the rise, and then maybe things have plummeted a bit by the sounds of it. Could you elaborate on that? And especially for our listeners, if you could give context, maybe how many downloads you were getting compared to now.
Yeah, cool. So I was getting somewhere between, depending on who the guest was, somewhere between 1,100 and 1,500 episodes a month. Sometimes I'd get more. Some episodes did 1,500 downloads themselves. But what happened about just over 12 months ago, I partly took myself out of it for a little while because I was going through a separation and, yeah, moving house and all the stuff that goes on with that. So I took my focus off it a little bit. And then about 6 months after that, I employed a marketing company. And it was a marketing company, a friend of mine, she's been around for about 10 years. And one of her criteria, there were other criteria as well, because I was starting a business, was to get the downloads increased on my podcast. And since she started to, when she finished 4 months later, my downloads had dropped from where they were, about 1,100 a month, to about 300 a month. And the only reason I can put for it is the marketing, because I wasn't doing it. It was somebody else writing the posts or promoting it or doing whatever. And I wasn't doing anything different that I could see. And that's the only thing I could think. So I don't know. That's the background to where I'm at now.
Okay. That's great context to have. And I guess, so you were releasing, obviously you went through quite a rocky period just with a lot of stuff happening in your life. Were you releasing consistently throughout that, or could that have been a factor as well as the marketing?
No. So I've always released at least one episode a week. For short periods of time, I might have done 2 episodes a week, but it's been consistent. And when I've had to take a few weeks off, I've re-released a popular episode from the past. I think I've done that twice, where I've re-released 3 or 4 episodes because I didn't want to take a break. I'm in the position now where, as we were talking about before, and as I've emailed you quite a lot, I'm actually migrating back to the UK in a few weeks, and this has been a bit sudden. So this time I am going to take a break from recording, and I really want your feedback about that. Is it a really good time to revamp and reboot, or should I be re-releasing old episodes? Yeah, I'd just like your feedback on that.
Karen, I think you're great. I love the fact that you never stopped even in the hard times and you just repurposed past episodes to keep things moving, right? That is exactly what we recommend, actually. And we even recommended to someone on a recent Roaster Show episode. So for anyone listening right now, no matter what you're going through or what, no matter what prevents you from recording episodes, you can always still release, right? Because you can always at least republish past episodes if you must. And I think that's great. And I would recommend just to keep doing that rather than taking a break. Because otherwise that's just going to kill momentum. I understand though, from your point of view, you probably think I did that and it still killed momentum. So I guess before we dive into maybe what actually did cause that, the root of that. So obviously there was like a marketing campaign that clearly didn't go well and it actually worked against you. And then you said you think it might be the content or the format, you're not really sure. Is there any specific ideas you have, maybe something in the marketing campaign or maybe anything you changed in terms of the content or the format that could have led to the downfall? In terms of downloads?
The only thing that I really wasn't certain about, I've always just, and I've got to admit this, right? My podcast until now has been about me. It's been about, oh, I'm interested in that. So I'm going to reach out and ask somebody to come on my podcast to talk about that. That has been the sole thought behind any planning that I've done. It's literally, what am I interested in? I never write a script. I just wing it with my guests. So I have a great time. But I don't know whether that's got anything to do with it. However, last year, because of what I was going through, I did do a 4 to 6 week mini series on divorce and separation. And I thought, okay, maybe that's not the thing, because some of my listeners obviously aren't married for a start, maybe, or they're not interested. They don't want to hear that kind of thing. I don't know. That was the only thing I could think of. An interesting one that I did want to talk to you about at some point, and I don't know whether it's the right point. When I looked back on my download stats for last year, and I was going to do a compilation episode at the end of the year, and I've always had guests on because I don't necessarily like talking to myself. This is different because I'm talking to you too, right? But I don't like just talking at the camera, at the screen. But 4 of my top 5 most downloaded episodes last year were just me talking and sharing. And so that's been on my mind. Okay, do after this next period of time, this next little blip in my life, do I focus more on that, on sharing myself as opposed to doing something else? I don't know. And I would like your thoughts on that, but I have gone a bit off track there. Sorry, Tig.
No, it's good. The more context, the better. I've definitely got some thoughts, but Anthony, what does anything come to mind for you after hearing all that?
Take it away, Tig.
Yeah. So,
nicely handballed there.
Karen, so you've been making content just based on what kind of comes to mind for you. So I guess think from the perspective of a listener. So they came to the show because it's a menopause show, right?
It was a midlife show. So the original title was Menopause, Marriage and Motherhood. And it's basically all things midlife. And I've changed it to Life After Menopause just because I'm that bit older now. So, yeah.
Oh, okay. In that case, just a bit of a technical clarification. So I'm looking at the show Menopause, Marriage and Motherhood, but maybe I'm looking at it and it hasn't updated yet. So that's actually the old name and it's now called Life After Menopause.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. Yep. I don't know why it's not updated.
No, I'm looking on now that I'm looking on Apple Podcasts, I can see it. Okay, that's all good. That makes a lot more sense. Okay. So, and when your downloads dropped off, it was still called the old name or you changed it to the new name?
No, the old name. Yeah, I only changed the start of this year, middle of January.
Okay. Would I be right in thinking that people would come into the show for menopause, marriage and motherhood content, right? And I suppose in midlife, but they ended up getting content that was more reflective of kind of divorce, moving house, things like that? Or did that not really show up in the content?
I've always done content on all aspects of midlife. So it might be finances, it could be style, it could be health things and supplements. It could be anything that's associated with midlife. I have done episodes before on relationships, both on how to build your relationship as well as on divorce and separation. It was just that I focused at this point on that for a few weeks as opposed to just changing topics every week.
Okay. God, your listeners were in for a bit of a roller coaster, right? They rock up each week, never knowing what they're going to get. Is it going to be finances? Is it going to be relationship building? Is it going to be divorce? Is it going to be general menopause stuff? God, you put them through the ringer a bit, haven't you?
It's just how I do things. That's my life. Whatever, yeah. I'm interested in right now.
Yeah. Well, you like to make content about whatever interests you right now. Would you say that listeners like to listen to whatever they're interested in right now as well?
Well, here's the thing, right? If my downloads dropped when they could predict that I was doing a mini-series on divorce because I told them divorce and separation, then maybe they like the unpredictability of stuff. I don't know.
Sorry, what do you mean by that exactly?
So the downloads really dropped when the marketing was going on and when I was doing the mini-series about divorce and separation from when I was just doing random topics every week.
Okay.
And they didn't know, okay, what was coming up. So my downloads dropped then.
Well, in that case, it sounds like the listeners didn't really like the divorce and separation, right?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. But, and I suppose, so you've always been doing random topics, but I suppose there's doing random topics within a fixed agenda that is going to apply to the majority of your listeners. But then there's veering outside of that, and then we're going to start to lose people, right? Because, like you say, people, not just yourself, we all do, we listen to what we're interested in at the time, right? Mm. No matter how loyal they are to you, if they're just hearing about things that are just completely not relevant, they'll just go to a different menopause podcast. So I suppose that divorce series that I believe that would have been a big catalyst to a drop off in engagement. What do you think?
I agree, yeah. Looking back on it, I agree. I had no idea. And I did it from all different aspects. I had a solicitor and I had a couple of people who were coaches, divorce and separation coaches, and then going out and getting back on the dating scene and how to prepare yourself for doing that when you're in your 50s. So there was all sorts of things, but obviously it wasn't what people wanted to hear.
No, especially when they come into the show that's called Marriage, Motherhood and Menopause. So yeah, I think there would have been a bit of a conflict of interest. So for me, definitely a big thing that I'm seeing is when we want to keep listeners around, and also new listeners are always finding the show, but a lot of them will be dropping off. You mentioned you have between, it in the good patch, you had between basically 1,000 to 1,500 downloads a month often. But it sounded as if that number was fluctuating a lot. It's a baseline for sure, but it's still a lot of fluctuation. A lot of the reason that happens for people is because they're covering different topics. So they're losing listeners as quick as they gain listeners. And it's like you have this leak in the bucket because there's no potential to compound in terms of more and more people joining because they're listening to what they're interested in, going back to that, but then sticking around because you continue to feed them that. And instead it changes kind of week to week, month to month. So it's always this state of up and down. That's what I'm seeing. And I think that honestly could be the biggest reason your podcast hasn't been growing. What do you think, Anthony? You got anything to add?
Yeah, I think I totally agree. I think when you first get started with a podcast, it's really just finding your feet, getting used to it, sharing your thoughts, what you're interested in. That's what we enjoy. That's what we like it. We love talking about ourselves. I love talking about myself. So I totally get that. When it comes to the show, I think a mindset switch that a lot of our clients have to make to take things to the next level, and they often say is, oh my God, this makes so much sense. Of course, at each point, from the point of me titling the show, to my cover art, to my description, to the content strategy, to my marketing on social media, I need to think about the listener themselves. What's in it for my listeners, not what's in it for Karen. Karen, love you lots. You seem amazing. But listeners don't care. It sounds ruthless, but they genuinely don't care. Until you've built up a massive audience in the tens of thousands, then diversifying your topics might make a bit more sense. But when you first get started, you almost have to earn the right. So you have to earn the right, build that trust, and then start thinking about all these different topics. Then maybe when you talk about stuff going on in your personal life, it's not like out there is way off maybe in terms of what your listeners are looking for. So it doesn't feel cohesive to the actual show itself, to the promise you're giving them about what the show is and who it's for. It's now about Karen, not about what the listeners can gain from listening to Karen. And those are two separate things. So I think that would have definitely been a huge catalyst for the kind of decline in terms of growth. I guess from your end, was there anything else you did to try to regain growth or try to kind of restart the growth again?
No, I've just gone back to doing everything myself as opposed to having somebody else do it, but then got distracted with what's going on right now in my life. So yeah, I haven't got a lot of time to put into the podcast right now. This is in a couple of months, I'll deal with it kind of scenario. I was just going to cruise along. With regards to what you're saying, I think and I've been supremely self-indulgent in this so far, because I have literally just done things that I'm interested in. I go, oh, I'd really like to know about that. And I put a call out for somebody to come on my podcast, talk to me about sexism in Australia today. And I put a call out and somebody comes on the podcast and we have a great conversation. It has totally been all about me. And I have to say, the thought of sticking to one topic, I'll just go to bed and stay there. I'm just saying that. You'll see no more episodes. Yeah. So I do not want to specialize in anything. So I'm just getting that out there.
Well, talk to me about that. Tell me a little bit more. What makes you so scared? What makes you worry sick, bed down at the idea of having a specific topic?
Boredom, I think. My life is never boring and I will create a drama in it to just overcome the boredom. Yeah. That's just the thought I'm talking about. This is why I changed it to life after menopause from menopause, marriage and motherhood, because I'm like, I'm so sick of talking about menopause now. I'm over it. I need to change.
Interesting. Okay. And talk to me a little bit more. So the idea of sticking to one topic bores you and worries you. Could you elaborate a little bit more? What's your perception in terms of, let's say you talk about one specific topic and let's say it's about keeping healthy or fitness, health, I'm just a random example, health and fitness during menopause. Let's say you had that specific topic. Let's say you were to explore it for 6 months' time. How do you see things playing out from your end, or what specifically will you get bored of?
I'm one of those people that's a jack of all trades, and I was going to say master of none, but I learn things very quickly. So I will talk to an expert and I'll get as much knowledge as I need from one conversation on that topic. I might do a second conversation, but not one's good enough. And then I'm on to the next thing. It's a curiosity thing. So the thought of delving into something for so long is just like, it's going to be difficult.
Who's the more curious person? The person who finds a rock, views the rock and says, huh, this is a rock. This is cool. I like it. Feels nice. Looks hard. Drops it. Another person comes along, sees the exact same rock, looks at it, goes, wow, where does this rock come from? What kind of materials is it made from? Oh, is it from the sea? Interesting. How was it made up? How long is it made up for? Wow, I wonder what professor's done this. What else do I do with this rock? What ancient people used to do with this rock? Out of those two avatars, who's more curious? The person who finds a rock and just says, this is a rock, then moves on to the next rock and just decides that's it? Or the person who finds a rock and goes to the deepest length to understand this rock, where it comes from, what is important, and what they can do with it? Who's more curious out of the two?
Well, you can't say that the first person isn't curious if they're going on to something else. It's just that one person's curiosity is focused on one thing, whereas the other person's curiosity is flitting from thing to thing. So I understand what you're saying. I also get it from the podcasting viewpoint. I can see the value in that, because then it becomes predictable for the listeners. They know that they're going to come to that podcast and they're going to hear all about rocks that you find on the beach. They're going to find out all about them, right? And
don't think I'd be too exciting, but yeah.
You never know. I know a few geologists. But then to me, you've broken my train of thought now. I can't remember what I was going to say. But there's also a curiosity in finding out different things. It's just two different personality types, and neither's wrong and neither's right. And for me, I've tried to make myself specialize in things throughout my life. I'm not talking about podcasting here. You are damn lucky I'm still doing podcasting 4 years later. There must be an interest in it for me, because there are not many things that I would do for 4 years straight. I can tell you that, right? That's just a personality thing. And I know that I'm old enough to acknowledge that if I say, yes, I will commit to doing something, the same thing for 6 months, I'm probably going to fail. I'll try my best, but I might fail. And I just want to, that's something that I need to acknowledge, not just to you, but to myself as well. So it's like, okay, I'm going into this and this is going to be, if I choose to do that, I've got to figure out how I can make that interesting for myself, knowing my personality type.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? I think I totally agree. And I guess like with the exercise of the analogy of the two people finding that rock, I think you are right. I think in that context, they are both curious, just curious in different ways. I guess from the perspective of a listener and someone who's trying to extract value from a show, again, it's always about them and what they're looking after. So the reason why it's tricky to go with the one where, for example, you're just curious about a bunch of different things is marketing that becomes very difficult because you're hoping your interest at mass is the same as everyone else's who you're trying to attract and retain on the podcast and get back coming back each week on the podcast, which is... It's a tall order. It's not impossible, but that takes like 10 years of dedication and really honing the craft and just staying true to that message of what you're trying to do. But again, when you're trying to build an audience and grow the show and get to a point where you're turning the growth around, to begin with, it needs some level of focus, some basis to work with to begin with, and some consistency, not for yourself, but for the listeners. I'm curious to know, Karen, because it sounds like this has been a pattern not just in podcasting, but in other areas of your life. Be honest with me in terms of how things have played out overall. Honestly, I think your energy is great, but has this shiny object syndrome, which is what I'll call it, how has that affected you in other areas in your life? And how do you think that's affecting you right now with the podcast in terms of the goals you're trying to achieve?
I think in terms of the podcast, what you're saying actually makes a lot of sense. And I said it right at the start, the podcast to date has been all about me. And now it's time to make it all about the listeners, because I do want to stop. This has been a hobby, really. I've just had a hobby for 4 years. I haven't really put any effort into it. And when I did put any effort into it, I got the people marketing it. It failed miserably. So, okay, there's something I need to focus on here. What is it I need to do? In terms of the shiny object syndrome, I've done so many things. And it's actually worked out well for me. I've got ADHD tendencies, as do all four of my children, and I can learn very quickly. So it actually works out. I'm one of those very lucky people that it actually works out really well for. Having said that, I tend to stay within an arena. So for me, a lot of it has been construction. So I did a degree in construction. I worked on building sites. I've done developments. I've done renovations. I've done flips. I've done all sorts of things in real estate. But it's always changed, constantly changed. And then I moved on to, okay, I've blogged, I've done, what do you call it, written articles for other people, guest posts and guest articles and done all sorts of things, written a book. And then I moved into the podcasting. And it's really now, it's time for me to make a decision as to whether I actually stop doing the shiny object syndrome and being self-indulgent about this, or whether I actually listen and put in the effort that's required and stop whinging about it, basically.
Yeah, and I guess like the question that I have off the back of that would be, you mentioned you were in constructions and you explored all areas of construction. Isn't that the same thing as the rock? The guy who finds the rock and finds out all areas of the rock. So I guess, again, it still comes back to the whole thing of we can still be curious with that depth and explore all corners of it without you being bored. For example, for us, we have this with our show. So I want to clarify something for you as well as our listeners. Whenever we say stay focused on a topic, if you just stay focused on one topic and repeat that same thing over and over again, you're going to get bored, your listeners are going to get bored, and they're going to drop off guaranteed. It's about how do we constantly evolve the content? How do we deliver the content in new and exciting ways? For example, for us, when it comes to the Why Podcast is Growing, we've added Rose Association to make it more interactive for our listeners, to build the community, but to give a different perspective from an actual listener who might have objections that our broader audience have in their minds, but aren't able to express to us. That's a different way to engage our audience. We then have a voice note Monday, where we have other podcasters come on the show and give us the pivotal growth moments that they had. Again, serving our listeners in a different format. And then we have me and Tig on Wednesdays and Fridays, where we explore podcasting, how to grow shows, why people aren't growing, and monetization, and all corners of it. The psychology, the practical steps, the mindset, and really delving deep into all of that. But again, targeting coaches, business owners, and experts and business professionals in their field with all those topics targeting to that avatar, but done in, again, in a unique way. So for us, we understand it will get boring and it will get tame if you're doing it the exact same way over and over again. But if you're exploring not only the topic fully and all the dimensions, but how you deliver the topic as well. You could easily do case studies on a particular, let's say, menopause, right? You could do different like scenarios, different funny stories that you've seen. There's different ways to package the same content and deliver it in a new and unique way. So yes, you will get bored, but how do we adapt? How do we evolve? And how do we explore this topic fully so that you are seen as an expert in the field? Not an expert, but like the person to go to for this type of content. That's really the foundations of that, and doesn't have to get boring and stale. But I said a lot there. I guess from that, Ty, do you have anything to add, mate? And I guess from your own, Karen, what are your thoughts on that?
No, what I was going to say, you covered it. I think, Karen, from the background context that you gave, it sounds as if you have, like Anthony has said, gone very deep in certain areas within your life. And it sounds, and I could be completely off it, but the way you're talking about, do I make this decision to go all in and that kind of thing, it sounds as if maybe you're building it up in your head to be something that is a big kind of commitment that you have to then talk about the same thing every week, and it becomes this really big. It sounds daunting in the way you're talking about it in yourself, but it doesn't have to be that way at all. I would say the question is not so much, do I want to put myself through this? Do I want to imprison myself to talk about the same thing every week for 6 months? And more so, do I want to find a way to explore how I can make this fun and interesting whilst creating a clear link between every episode that's going to keep people coming back for more? And unfortunately, the clear link in the last few years, it's been you, right? But it can't be you, because of course we can only do that when we've already got a big following, like we've addressed. So to reiterate, the question is more so, rather than, you know, what you're thinking, am I open to finding a way to make this fun and engaging whilst making a clear connection to invite new listeners in over the next
few months? So I open.
It's really interesting you saying that, because you've actually hit the nail on the head. Like, I had it that if I decide to go all in, this is going to stop being fun. I am not going to be enjoying myself. It's going to be hard work and I'm not going to like it. So there's that context to change. And I haven't considered any of the options that you'd said, Anthony, at all.
Awesome. So it sounds like you are open to it then, Karen.
Yeah, I hadn't considered when you were saying, Anthony, we do this and then we have the case studies and then we have people in who've been, the Monday ones where people say this is how they got their success and we do that. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, I could do different things rather than just the 45-minute long podcast once a week. I can do something different. And maybe focusing on life after menopause, there are a lot of aspects of it. How do you prepare? And like you say, sharing people's stories, because that is one of my favorite things to do, sharing women's stories, but also getting the experts in, and also maybe sharing some of what's going on for me, and also doing other stuff too. But I hadn't actually considered that. I was like, okay, no, I do 45 minutes once a week with somebody else most of the time. I'm going to get bored.
You know what, Karen? Firstly, I think you're on the right track and you're spot on. And I'm glad we opened the door. A lot of podcasts, a lot of clients that we work with, you get tricked into this mindset of, oh, if we're just consistent enough and we work and we stick at it and we work long and hard enough, then our podcast is going to grow. I will tell you this now. Most podcasts will actually stop, quit, and never make it and have a show that eventually pod fades and declines in terms of growth, because they've just stayed consistent doing the same thing and not thought creatively, or maybe not explored other unique ways of delivering the exact same content to talk about the exact same topic. More often than not, listeners get bored. Your audience get bored. I get bored. Think about the amount of shows that you started, or YouTube channel that you started watching, and you get bored because it gets to a point where it gets a bit redundant and repetitive. And for you as a creator, and I say creator, business owner, like for me, we're business owners, but I think to really make podcasting work, you have to step into the mind of a creator. That's the only way it works. Creators are always evolving. Every single podcast that's come onto our show on the Monday episodes, they always share about how they're experimenting. They're not just doing the same thing over and over again. No, they're experimenting. They're changing. They're adapting. They're evolving. They're packaging things in a different way. So how can we start doing more of that? Because I have the mindset we need to keep growing. Yeah, I just want to say that because, yeah, consistency will actually mess you up more than experimenting and trying different things. People get stuck up on that, but change is actually a good thing when it's not sporadic and when it's evolving rather than sporadic. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally. So in terms of where I'm at now, where I've just changed the name, and that was out of the shiny object syndrome, I can tell you that now, because I get bored and I want to do something different. And I've got all these changes going on. So what would you recommend? Do you recommend, or would you advise me to have a break or use old episodes and start again with a completely new format in a couple of months? What's the go from here, do you think?
Yeah, great question. So I think the go from here would just be to like reflect and look at two paths. So the first path is asking yourself, okay, life after menopause within that, is that what I want to do? It sounds like it might be. So thinking about, okay, from that aspect, okay, how can I start building my content strategy to attract the people I want to reach? It's relatively straightforward. It would just be thinking about what are the specific problems and pain points my audience and listeners are going through right now. And it could be similar to your own. Map those out and then turn those pain points into talking points. So for example, a pain point could be a podcaster who feels like they're struggling to stay consistency. And they're like, hey, okay, how to gamify your podcast to make it easier to stay consistent. That would be a podcast starter based off a pain point. So for you, what would that be? Map that out. And then in terms of keeping yourself consistent, because I know you've got a lot of stuff going on in your personal life right now, I would encourage you to even experiment with 5 to 10 minute shorter episodes covering those specific pain points. It doesn't seem like your podcast overall is optimized for SEO because each of the titles seem very different. Again, with the whole shiny object syndrome, it's all over the place. So you'll want to make sure you have menopause and other specific keywords that are related to the topic, whether that's life after 50, whatever those keywords are, have that consistently in the topic. And then from there, you of course want to make sure your title reflects the content that you just created. So far, you following me?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah?
Let me jump in. So in terms of the content strategy piece, so the first piece, I think something that's really important to clarify the before and after with what it's been like and the direction we need to go in. In terms of the pain points and problems, Anthony said, the way you've been viewing it, you might have not been viewing so deliberately as like pain point or problem and more so just as topic, for example, finance and this kind of thing. A lot of that will still apply, but the only guide rail you have to place on yourself, which again is a far cry from any kind of pigeonhole, it's just some very light guide rails, is they just all need to apply to the same person. And I think part of the issue before, the divorce one is a perfect example, right? It's like we're talking to two different people there because people came to the show seeing marriage in the title and marriage as a focus. They ended up hearing from a divorce coach, right? So we're talking to completely two different people there. So we just need to make sure all of these topics, they all apply to one person, one specific type of person in menopause. And then that is just all you need. Everything kind of falls into place after that. And the content strategy stuff that Anthony describes becomes very smooth. And most people that find the show are naturally going to want to listen to the next episode. Awesome. Thoughts? Is that clear?
Yeah, no, that's great. I can see that. The honest to God, the avatar has just been me so far. So whatever's going on for me, that's what I talk about. And it needs to be somebody else. And I think it's one of the reasons why I changed the name, because I didn't feel that having marriage in there was appropriate. But I do also do need, I'm aware that I need to go in and sort out the SEO as well, because I haven't done that at all. Do you know, I hate with a passion naming the podcast every week. It is the worst job in the world. I really don't like it. I don't know whether anybody else has a problem. I hate it.
No, I totally feel that. And I guess from that, of course, what we can do, we can send you, but we've got like specific episodes that you can go through in terms of titles and all that kind of stuff. But I'll say have fun with it. As long as it's intriguing and you have, again, menopause and the other keywords that you select to go for, consistently showing up in your episode titles, you'll be fine. You'll start ranking higher. Your podcast will start growing more organically. Once you've got those things in place, I'm going to just give you clear next steps for how to then market the show. For your end, when you're in the menopause phase, midlife, life after midlife, that kind of stuff, finding online communities, go into a Facebook group, post specific content about your life, funny story. There you can talk about yourself and make, as long as engaging, you'll engage the right people. So just share stuff frequently, engage in the community, become what we call an MVP. This can just be like literally once for 10 minutes a day, just go into the community, share, oh, I've learned this new thing. Oh, I had a guest on that talked about this. How cool is that? Oh, have you ever thought about this during menopause? Oh, I'm currently struggling with this. Has anyone got any answers to that? When you do this and you form the habit over, let's say a week, 2 weeks, people start engaging with you consistently. The people who are engaging with you in these communities are potential listeners. That's now how you're going to start almost like attracting listeners into your world. And then what you want to do is either yourself or a team member, if that's possible, like an assistant or something like that, is simply just reach out and start a conversation and then share the podcast you believe they would gain value from. Just say, hey, I saw you engaged with this post about fitness during menopause. I actually had a professional come in because I was really struggling with this and this helped me a ton. Are you open to me sharing this with you? If you're not, that's actually cool as well. Just say, no, Karen, you suck. Something like that. Something really lighthearted. You'll start getting people saying, yes, send it over. And then I'll start giving you feedback. And now what you didn't have before, which was feedback and interaction, we've now generated and created for ourselves.
Which, so by the way, is a great way feedback to keep things fun, right? When you do have a bit more kind of direction with things.
So now they have the interaction, you can now decide, okay, are people liking it? Are they not? But right now it's still hard to gauge and know. You know, so that's going to be the social media strategy that I would personally say that you should focus on. Then once you're getting that traction and picking things up, I'd recommend guesting on other shows. I'm not going to break that down because I think it would be too overwhelming and it's a bit quite a while away yet, but we have specific episodes that we'll link in the show notes for this episode that you can always come back to reflect on. But the idea would be guessing on other people's podcasts once you've got the positioning fixed and you're clearing your targeting, once you have the content strategy fixed, once you're now ranking organically on Apple and Spotify and growing, and once you've mastered turning strangers online communities into listeners of your show, then you go on to guesting. That's the steps I would take moving forward to grow the show from where you're at now to 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 plus in the months to come.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you for that. It's something I don't do. And the feedback is something I'm missing the interaction. And I think that for anybody else that's listening to this and is in the same position, when you don't get feedback, you don't know what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. You just keep going. And I think that's possibly one of the reasons why I feel I'm afraid of the boredom, is because I've had no feedback or very little feedback so far. So I don't know whether I'm doing it right or wrong because nobody's saying anything.
You've had feedback. The numbers speak for themselves. But maybe they're not too friendly. I know what you mean. I'm being funny here, but yeah, I do know what you mean. That is frustrating. Like, again, that's why doing the social media part is going to be really important for that feedback. I guess from your end, I'd love to know, before we kind of wrap things up, from your end, what would you say to a listener who's a bit nervous, who's worried, who's a bit curious about coming on the show, but they're a bit skeptical? What would you say to them about coming onto the Roasted Show and getting their podcast roasted and audited?
I don't know that roasted comes into it at all, to be honest. It's not about a confrontation. There's nothing wrong. This is just about moving forward. And until somebody tells you, it's like you can't learn to walk unless somebody's holding your hands or you've got something to hold on to. You're never going to get anywhere. You're just going to stay flat in your face. So that's all it is to me. It's just that gentle guidance to move forward. You can roast if you want to. I had fun tonight, but I think there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, thanks, Karen. Awesome. I think it's been great.
Thank you.
And to kind of round things off, I think you have so much potential. Your energy is great. You're in a great niche. And the most telling thing is you actually had some decent growth, which has dropped, but that definitely says that you were having great interviews, right? And you were talking about great things, just with a bit more focus, a bit more direction, and basically all the things we talked about today, right? I think you got so much potential with the show, so I'm excited to see the changes.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. No, it's just, this is the path to success, as far as I'm concerned, coming on here.